I want to preach to you this morning, living with a delayed answer. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 10. I'm going to read one verse there, or a few verses there, sorry, starting in verse 11. The questions that I'm about to ask you are going to be rhetorical because I already know the answers. Have you ever been in the middle of something tough and you prayed for a rescue and you heard nothing? Okay, then this one's a little bit tougher to be honest on. Have you ever questioned God in frustration and asked, why won't you answer me? Could it be that God doesn't always answer? Because sometimes he wants us to stay right where we are and learn right there how to fight, how to stand. Do you remember when the prophet Daniel prayed and he did not get an answer? Daniel chapter 10 tells us more in depth of what was really going on while Daniel was waiting. Daniel's eyes are open. He's in fasting, praying. He sees a vision of a man clothed in linen, and the description that he gives is almost identical to the description that John gives in Revelation when he saw Jesus. So it's very possible that this was a theophany in Daniel's life. A theophany means it's a manifestation of Jesus in the Old Testament. But before this experience, there was waiting, praying, fasting, and mourning, as Daniel describes it. Daniel chapter 10, verse 11. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. Father, I'm asking you in the name of Jesus to help us hear what you want us to hear this morning. I know by the Spirit of God that you will speak to someone's heart in this room. Amen. And I believe by the Spirit of God that you are going to give them strength to stand one more day and to pray one more time waiting on you. In Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
One of the biggest lies that the enemy of your soul likes to use against the people of God is this. It sounds like this. God doesn't hear you. Sometimes the most heartfelt prayers that I have prayed were eloquent, and they would have impressed the most theological mind among us. I've said the big words. I was able to pray with beauty and able to just impress you with the power of the words of my prayer. But they were not deep or lengthy, some of the most powerful prayers that I've prayed, because the ones that would not impress you came from the depths of my heart when I cried out, Jesus, help me.
Yes. Amen.
Oh, yes. Come on.
I would love to tell you that these kind of prayers cause spiritual lightning and thunder to happen and sky-splitting power to fall, but that is usually not the case. What I have found it to produce, though, is a refuge for me. A safe place for me to run to when the cares of this world are weighing in on my life. One time when Logan was just a little bitty boy, he was about 1 1/2, maybe 2, he was just starting to talk, I would pray with him every night. And one time I was praying with him and I said, buddy, would you like to pray tonight? He said, yes. I said, okay, you pray. And this was the extent of his prayer. And 4 years later, his mama is still talking about it because it made such an impact in my heart and my life. That little 2-year-old baby said, Jesus, amen.
Yeah.
Jesus,
amen.
Amen means so be it. Amen means so many people whose faith in God is shaken because of an unanswered prayer. I've seen it happen once. I've seen it happen 100 times. You're praying for an answer, and you are having to live with a delay. And when the delay comes, the reason why that faith is shaken is because we forget to run to that refuge that is calling on His name. That calling on His name will provide. The Bible says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous will run into it, and they will be saved. There's nothing in me that wants to embrace a delayed answer. I don't want to wrap my arms around having to live and wait on God to come through with the answer. There's nothing in me that looks forward to a delay, but there is something that stands up on the inside of me when I read in Daniel of those 3 Hebrew children that were still waiting on their answer. And they said, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver me from the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of your hand, O King. But if not, maybe you just preached it up here, if not, be it known to you, O King, we will not serve your gods, we will not bow down to your idols, we will not do what you have set up and told us that we have to do.
Right. Yes.
Here's the truth of the matter. If God answers me or not, if I've got a battle that I've got to walk through or not, if there's discouragement waiting in front of me or not, if there are valleys that I have to walk through or not, I will not, you hear me this morning, this little woman will not bow herself to the idols of this world. I will not bow myself to the demons that wait for me to lose faith in the God of my salvation just because I'm crying out to Him and waiting. Actually, probably about a year ago, and I was praying with it, and I petitioned the Lord. Lord, and I gave specific, exact directions. This is, Lord, if this is what you want, and I want you to prove yourself to me. Prove yourself that you have heard me specifically by a certain date. I wasn't praying that specifically very often, and it was specific. And I said, Lord, I'm waiting in faith to believe you. I'm going to see this thing happen.
Amen. Yeah, I'm with you. Yes, yes. Come on.
Guess what? Didn't see it happen. I said I didn't see it happen. It was pertaining to something in our life that we needed God to close the door on, finalize this thing for us. That we needed it to happen. And it didn't happen the way that I could see it. And when it didn't, there was an enemy that walked in the door. And this little soldier woman preacher who says, declares everything that she will be and will not be and lives it and Jesus, amen, and walks through it. And if you challenge me on the truths of God, there's some fire that's going to come up in my belly. That kind of woman. There was an enemy that walked in the door and started whispering to me and said, are you sure any of this is even real? Because you told God if he was real and he really heard you, that he would answer you on this matter. And he didn't. So are you for certain that when you're praying that God is hearing you? And I went through a battle that I never thought I would fight. Me, just about a year ago, walking into the house of God to worship with that whispering lie in my ear saying, are you sure that God is really going to hear you when you start worshiping him? Are you sure about this thing? Listen, because he didn't answer you the way that you had asked him. And I fought with that thing and fought with that thing until it was like Daniel whenever I had petitioned the Lord about a certain date. I said, Lord, by October 31st, I'm asking you to make this happen. We didn't get word, but guess what? I was fighting that battle, saying, am I going to go forward or not? Am I going to believe God or not? Without knowing that actually when the thing went through was October 30th, and I didn't find out about it until sometime in December that God had come through whenever I asked him to come through. Even when I don't see it, he's still working. Even when I don't know about it, he's still working. Even when the enemy is telling me that I can't trust him, I can still trust him because he will not lie.
Amen.
I can trust him with everything that I am. And so because I was able to stand there and say, you are the God who promised, you are the God that gives, you are the God that takes away, I found out that my faith was set in one that is sure and it will not change.
Amen. Yes.
It's not usually easy to live out a delay. It gets wearisome. It gets heavy. The burden of the delay, the pressing on in spite of the delay, the forging ahead, the setting your face with determination in spite of your delayed answer. It's not usually a fly-by-night thing that you are able to do. In the hour that we live in, you hear me, it is very, very possible that you will witness people laying down their faith in God in this hour that you never expected would lay down their sword.
Yeah. Amen.
That's why I'm preaching to you. You better choose. You better plant your feet, because there's coming a day that you're going to have to live through a delayed answer to prayer. You're praying, and God is hearing. But the enemy's telling you that God is not hearing anything that you're saying. And if you are not careful and determined, you will lay down your sword. Just this very week, someone that I've known since they were born, you hear me, young people, one of your 18-year-old comrades in this army who has been raised in a Christian home, lived for God, one of the quietest, most beautiful, gentle, spirited young women that I've ever been around. She decided that because God wasn't answering her prayer on a mate for life, she's only 18 years old, that because she wasn't seeing the fulfillment, she decided to lay down her sword, run away from home, disappear, not tell mom and dad where she's going, cause her parents to lose night and night and night after sleep, all because she didn't know how God's going to come through.
Yeah.
You hear me, young people?
Speak to
You don't know when, you don't know where he's going to take you, you don't know what he's going to do or how he's going to bring you the fulfillment, maybe.
Yeah. Yes, right.
But I came to tell you this morning that just because you're living with a delayed answer does not mean that God is not working behind the scenes on what he is preparing for you to do. But if you are not prepared, if you are not still there, when the fulfillment comes, you won't be able to live it out.
Exactly right. Yes.
You mark my words. Guard your heart very carefully. And don't be deceived into thinking that you are somehow above being worn out simply because of how you feel you're handling life right now.
Yeah.
Do not deceive yourself into thinking that you are beyond being worn out simply because you're handling it good right now. You cannot gauge how you are going to deal with a delayed answer to prayer until you live through it and can testify on the other side of it that God is faithful.
Yes, he is. Amen.
What if you get an answer in prayer that you did not expect?
Uh-huh.
What if you asked for a yes and the answer was no?
Come on, preach.
How many times has your faith been shaken on that? And you've had to come to the altar again and say, even if you don't answer me, even if I know I've been acting like a spoiled child and didn't get their way, I asked you for a yes and your answer was no.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yes.
What if your answer is not just delayed, but it's really, really, really delayed?
Yeah.
What if you've been praying for 25 years
Preach.
For someone to get saved? What if you've been waiting for 19 years for that spouse, that child, that one to come home? What have you been waiting for so long? All I know is that the hour that we live in, you must have a faith that cannot be threatened by this world.
Amen.
So true.
A faith that cannot be threatened by the world. Do you understand? When you look at the things that are going on in our world, all of the things that are happening around us, all of the things that are coming toward us, you understand that your faith is going to have to be placed so securely in God that if all you can do is say Jesus, amen, you will still be standing. My grandfather preached to me when I was a child. I think that's where it was instilled in me to be a soldier of the cross. He said, if you don't choose right now that you will serve God, whether or not they come at you to cut your head off, if you don't choose right now that when that time comes, you will not bow your knee to the idols of this world, if you don't choose right now that you will serve God when everything's going wrong, if you don't choose right now that whenever the devil comes and throws everything in your face, if you don't choose right now that you will not be shaken down the road. That's the kind of preaching that I grew up under.
Yes, yes, ma'am.
To make you, to forge you, to form you. And now we have a society that says, I have faith in God. Let me see how much I can get by with and still make it to heaven. Let me see how much I can still do and God not punish me for the sin that I willfully committed.
That's right.
Come on, preach.
A faith that cannot be threatened by this world. A faith that can stand up in the face of reality.
Yes.
Our confidence has to come from something greater than your own strength. So I'm here to tell you, no matter how strong you are this morning, you are not above and beyond being worn out.
Yes, that's right. Good preaching.
A faith that is always subject to the divine will of God. A faith that knows that God can deliver.
Uh-huh.
A faith that will be committed to God regardless of the outcome.
Yeah.
It takes great faith to believe that God is able to deliver us from difficulties. But it's a more radical type of faith to say, even if God does not deliver, it's okay.
Yeah.
But believing God in tribulation and persecution,
yes,
when no miracle comes,
yes,
that's faith at a profound level. We are a chosen generation, the Bible calls us, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, as Peter calls us. And to be that is to live in the tension of this world. We are sent into the world, but cannot be of this world. 1 John says that we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness.
Yes.
If you don't choose over and over and over again that you will stand, Lord, even if I don't see the answer today, the devil's a liar.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Fear is a liar.
Yes.
Fear is a liar.
Over the outcome that I'm not sure I'm going to see.
Mm-hmm. Come on. Yes.
It doesn't take much to learn a whole lot about yourself. By persevering and living through delayed answers to prayer, you will simply learn what you are made of.
Yeah.
And on top of that, you'll expose the lies of the enemy.
Uh-huh.
Are your petitions before the throne of God any less important than Daniel's? When you say, well, my prayer isn't to save a nation. My prayer isn't to not bow before the idol. The whole nation's not watching to see what I'm going to do, no. Is your prayer less important?
Yes.
Is there any prayer that's less important than another?
No.
There's a battle that is fought against you and me the same as it was fought against Daniel, against the three Hebrew children, and Ephesians chapter 6, you know it very well, says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Yes.
If you are feeling like you are in the thick of it, in the middle of the fight, trust that God has a plan.
Yes.
Follow the King. He knows the plan. He knows the way that you must take. Would you be honest with me in this room right now and say, sister, I've been praying about something, and it's specific. I've asked God, and I do not have the answer. Lots of hands. Can you also say with me this morning, I've had to fight the devil because I don't have. I don't know how God does all that he does. Or why he does all that he does. Or when he's going to do all that he does. Some have a testimony of deliverance like the two Hebrew children. Some don't. You read in Hebrews chapter 11, that hall of faith, and you read about those who were sawed in half. They were eaten by lions. All of these horrible, they were boiled in oil. All of these horrible things. Why? They didn't have the same testimony as the three Hebrew children that were delivered from the fire. But what I do know is that God is sovereign, and he has a plan. And he already knows the end from the beginning.
Yes, he does.
And I know without any doubt that I can trust him. I know without any doubt this morning that you can trust him with your life. You can trust him with your children. You can trust him with your spouse. You can trust him with your health. You can trust him whether you get the answer or you don't get the answer.
Yeah, you can trust him.
His unchangeable nature is the reason why we are not consumed. Not because we are so great and spiritual, but because we have learned to trust him. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. How I proved him more and more. Do you feel what I feel? This room.
Sure. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus. Precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust Him more. Right now, you need to understand that it's just a delay.